The next case, and there was reference by Freddie Warner in the earlier section about the consideration nearly every legislative session of what is the so-called futility statute and its application in the healthcare arena, and in particular to hospitals and families whose children are there. Many of you knew or know that I was involved in the Baby Emilio case, which involved some very difficult facts involving a two-year-old. And in the Cook's Children's case, and this is a very, very significant case for the remedies that the court is trying to fashion here. The Fort Worth Court of Appeals examined whether the committee review process outlined in Section 166 of the TADA provides sufficient due process. Here, as a state actor, Cook's Children had to comply with procedural and substantive dictates of due process. The mother pleaded and was able to establish a probable right to recover under a viable cause of action that the committee review process set forth in 166 and followed fully by the hospital failed to comply with the dictates of procedural due process and established that the failure to maintain the status quo would result in immediate irreparable harm. So the trial court erred in denying TL's mother's temporary injunctive relief. The court, in a well-crafted opinion, whether you agree with it or not, discusses the 14th Amendment and not depriving any person of life or liberty without due process of law. Most authorities had held that treatment decisions made by private healthcare providers do not fall within the public function exception. None of the cases that the court previously examined dealt with a physician and hospital's joint decision to withdraw life-sustaining treatment against the wishes of the patient. Here, the Fort Worth Court of Appeals looked beyond case law to resolve the question presented on appeal, whether the decision to continue life-sustaining treatment for a minor patient, such as TL, is exclusively a sovereign decision fairly attributable to the state. A medical treatment decision made for a minor child, contrary to the child's parents, is the sovereign prerogative of the state. The Texas Supreme Court reaffirmed the parents' authority to make medical treatment decisions for their children absent emergency medical circumstances. In states governed by the Child Abuse Prevention Treatment Act, including Texas, decisions concerning the withholding of life-sustaining treatment from disabled infants, even if informed by the reasonable judgment of the treating physicians, must be made first by the parents, and if the parents unreasonably refuse consent, then by the state. What is remarkable about this case, not only the discussion of 166 and its intent, but the court providing recommendations to hospital to greatly expand the notice and opportunity requirements. And I want to go over each of them briefly, because it is a significant departure from the law as it exists. Again, as Freddie suggests, we need to keep our eye on the legislature for any changes this time around. They are recommending notice for the proposed action and no less than 30 days to request an evidentiary hearing, the right to present a medical expert opinion, provision of a list of witnesses expected to testify at the hearing on the committee's behalf, a mutually acceptable arbitrator or neutral hearing officer, the right to attorney representation, the right to record the proceedings, the right to call and cross-examine witnesses, the right to present relevant evidence, and the right to submit a written statement. This really suggests almost a mini trial or mini arbitration process when you're looking at a disagreement with the parents squaring off with treaters and the hospital. The Fort Worth Court of Appeals reversed the trial court's order denying injunctive relief. The Texas Supreme Court denied the petition for review in the fall Cook's Children's filed a petition for writ to the United States Supreme Court, which is denied. The next case is the Memorial Hermann Gomez case. Some of you may know these facts or have read these facts elsewhere. This was a case that resulted in a very significant jury verdict in Houston. Dr. Gomez alleged that the hospital had used misleading data, and we'll talk about the data in a minute, and a whisper campaign to eliminate competition by defaming him. The jury awarded $6 million in defamation and $6 million in compensatory and exemplary damages. The facts were that data was being collected. He was aware of it. It was not being collected as to Dr. Gomez only, but to all within that specialty. And he alleged that it harmed his practice and that as a result, he was had just signed a professional services agreement to be an independent contractor with Methodist West, and that this harmed his ability to do that because of a communication between Memorial and someone at Methodist West. On appeal, the hospital argued that the defamation and disparagement described in a conversation that Gomez with a Memorial administrator was not published to a third party. There was no evidence of defamation. The alleged defamatory and disparaging statements were, in fact,